Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend. We are on two different coasts. Sonia's on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. It's 89 degrees and 90% humidity where I am. So if you hear a little white noise,
it is not that here.
No, it is not in San Francisco where Sonia resides. If you hear a little bit of a white sound, white noise sound, that is my air conditioner, and that is non-negotiable because this apartment gets very hot. Even just like after 15 minutes, it's unbearable.
No.
I hope you all deal with it okay, but welcome.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. Welcome to the show where we talk about creeps from the past to the present. You're going to reach out to us on social media. We do have a basic Facebook page, but we don't often tend to it because that's the place where people tend to complain about our salty language. Yes, we do use salty language.
Fuck yeah.
We also have a private Facebook group if you want to interact with us, but you do need to answer a couple of questions. It's a private group, and we've just had to keep it kind of locked down a little bit. Some people got a little off kilter.
Yes, it is the best group on Facebook, though.
It is the best group on Facebook, and we keep it that way.
That's right.
Just look up What a Creep podcast group and Facebook, answer just a couple of questions, and then come right on in. We are on Twitter at CreepPod because somebody had What a Creep for 10 years and never used it.
Creep.
We are on Instagram at What a Creep Podcast, and we have a basic old-timey email. What a Creep Podcast, spelled it all out, at gmail.com. If you would like some stickers, we will drop them in the mail for you. So please send along your address. All of those places, by the way, you can send us suggestions for creeps and non-creeps.
Yes.
And by the way, Sonia, today's non-creep is a big time suggestion from many of our listeners in the UK.
So we listen.
We do listen. If you want to support the show, we do have a Patreon page. I want to say give a big shout out to Shabana, Daisy, Melissa, Betty for joining our Patreon page. We put out a couple Thank you. We put out a couple of extra episodes each month just for the Patreon peeps. We're a little more salty there. We're a little more boozy, usually.
Could you imagine we're more salty?
We're more obnoxious.
Can you imagine?
But thank you guys so much.
More.
Yes, it's just more of everything that you like. And if you have a minute, if you could leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, if you want to, no pressure. But I want to thank D Girl in Pink for doing so. And Sonia, can you tell them a little bit about our website?
Yes. Go to whatacreeppodcast.com and you can find everything you ever wanted to know about our show, but were afraid to ask. And there are links to all of our past episodes. And there's a link to our merch shop where you can get t-shirts and masks and tote bags. And they're all really, really great. I am a big fan of my t-shirt. And so is my son. He wears it all the time.
And you guys have been getting face masks and t-shirts and all kinds of book bags. We've been seeing that. So thank you so, so much for doing that. And today's creep is an 80s creep. Sonia, who are we going to be talking about today?
We are talking about Imelda Marcos, and she's still a creep, by the way. She's an 80s creep, but she's a current creep, too. So I am ready whenever you are.
Are you ready?
All right. Trigger warnings, political assassinations, torture, and shoes. Shoes might be a trigger for some people, so I put it in here. Sources for this episode is the documentary The Kingmaker, currently streaming on Showtime. Sign up for their free 7-day trial and then cancel it. That's what I did. Esquire, Vanity Fair, The New York Times, LA Magazine, Town and Country, Bloomberg, Britannica, Biography. I have a list, a link to a list of the human rights violations by the Marcos family. I am not going to list them all in this episode. It's pretty upsetting.
Wow.
And of course, Wikipedia. Known as the Steel Butterfly for her combination of fashion sense and political ambition, Imelda Marcos is the former First Lady of the Philippines. Her husband, Ferdinand Marcos was president from 1965 to 1986. During that time, the couple embezzled $10 billion from the government.
Holy shit.
With a B, y'all. Billion. In fact, Imelda and her husband hold the Guinness World Record for the greatest robbery of a government. And they committed hundreds of human rights violations. This was all during a very brutal period of martial law. They are both huge creeps. You're probably wondering, why is she just singling out Imelda and not her husband? And that's because she is seen by many as the real power behind the husband's regime. She is now, and she's still alive, and she's currently trying to like rewrite history and get her family back into power in the Philippines. Her children hold political positions. Her son is planning to run for president. He already made a run for vice president. I think it's a really good time to remind everyone that she's a fucking creep.
Did he change his name, or is he actually using the family name?
No, he is using the family name.
Jesus.
And that's what's crazy in this documentary. Their attempts to rewrite history are working. The election for vice president with him and someone else, it was really close. There are people that like they are just rewriting history. They are pretending that like their dictatorship, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. And it's working. More on that in a bit.
Okay.
Imelda, I'm going to make sure I get her last name right. Romualdez. She was born in San Miguel, Manila, July 2nd, 1929. Her parents were Vicente Romualdez, and he was a lawyer. And her mother was Remedios Trinidad. That was her name. And she was Vicente's second wife. He had a total of 11 children.
Wow.
And I know, damn.
Damn.
And Imelda grew up with five younger siblings and then five older half siblings from her father's first marriage. So she is just right in the middle. Her mother died when she was 8 years old of pneumonia, and her father had this like failing law practice, and he relocated the family from Manila to Tacloban.
Mm-hmm.
I spelled this all out phonetically, you guys, so that I would get it right. And while she was there, she actually entered a local beauty contest. This was in 1949, and she was dubbed the Rose of Tacloban. She was very, very pretty. This is something that's going to come up a lot. She graduated from St. Paul's College there, and she had a degree in education. She caught the eye of many of Manila's top business and political elites. Like I said, she was very, very beautiful. And she's smart. She's smart. She's not a dum-dum. Sometimes she plays really naive with people. And like in that documentary, Kingmaker, she's very like, oh, no, I'm very sweet and nice. And she plays very naive, but she is not. She is very, very smart. She, at one point, caught the eye of the mayor of Manila, and he declared her the muse of Manila, quote unquote. And her picture frequently appeared in like newspapers and magazines. In April 1954, she met Ferdinand Marcos, and he was a then 36-year-old congressman. He really had a reputation. He was really ambitious, and he was very media savvy. And they dated for a whopping 2 weeks before they got married. And then over the next decade, Ferdinand and Imelda established themselves as a powerful political couple in the Philippines. And they had three children, a daughter named Ami, a son named Ferdinand Jr., but he goes by the nickname Bongbong. And they have another daughter, Irene. During the campaign, Marcos' campaign for president in 1965, Imelda was front and center. Like we said, super beautiful. Crowds of working class Filipinos came out in droves to see her because she was so beautiful. She eventually started managing his campaign because she's super smart, like I said, and even convinced this man, Ferdinand Lopez, to run for vice president. She is very good at manipulating people. He actually said no a couple of times, and she talked him into it and started crying in front of him and all, really manipulated this dude into running, and he ran. In 1965, Marcos won. He was elected president of the Philippines. Imelda really established herself as a political partner to him. Cabinet members heads of financing institutions, business leaders. They were often seeking an audience with her because they felt like she had Ferdinand's ear. But I think she had more than that. I think she was like kind of running the show.
Mm. I thought you were going to say
she had more than that. She had his dick. Well, it turned out a lot of people had his dick.
Oh, really? He's a player?
He's a player. It's going to come up here in a sec. During all this time, she also ordered construction of really huge, grandiose architectural projects all over the Philippines using public funds. She demanded that they be built super fast. It is something that is known in the Philippines as her edifice complex. How very clever.
Mm. I get that.
Yeah, I don't get it. No, I'm kidding. Ferdinand was actually afraid to leave the country because he was afraid that there would be a coup. Always a sign that you're a good leader when you're afraid of stuff like that. So he would send Imelda all the time as like his surrogate president. And she met with world leaders all the time. So she met with Presidents Johnson and Nixon and Reagan. She met with Prince Charles, Fidel Castro, Gaddafi, Chairman Mao, Saddam Hussein. She met with everybody, and she charmed everyone wherever she went. People were just, they loved her. And while she was there, she spent a lot of her time going to really fancy, extravagant parties and, of course, shopping sprees, all on the public dime. Hmm. More on that in a bit. She also appointed herself to several political positions, which is not cool. She made herself the governor of the metro area, the Milan area, the interim National Assembly, and the Minister of Human Settlements. She's like, I'm just running the show.
Yeah.
And in her interviews, she will always talk about their marriage. They were super lovely and fine, but the truth is he was cheating on her like the second she got on a plane for these trips. In particular, there was an actress, her name was Dove something, I forget. Anyway, he was fucking everybody. Imelda actually kept a tape recorder under the bed, and she recorded all of his affairs. Isn't that crazy? And she used it.
How much tape did she use? Wait, did she?
Yeah, I know. So much tape. So much tape. It's probably hundreds and hundreds of hours of tapes. But she used that to control him. Like, she didn't want to, you know, he didn't want those tapes getting out. He would be embarrassed. He would be shamed. So she used it to get like more political power. During this time, the family lived like dictators, like kings on the country's dime. The country was suffering a major economic crisis. Millions of people were in poverty. And meanwhile, Imelda was buying out jewelry stores in Paris. At one point, she bought, this is bananas to me, a 70 carat light blue diamond. It was worth $5.5 million.
Holy shit. Was that a ring or was it a necklace? What is it?
I think it was just a necklace.
Yeah, that'd be really fucked up to try to wear on your hand, wouldn't it?
I know, right? It'd be very, very heavy.
Oh my God. Don't mind me and my 70-carat diamond necklace.
Everyone in the country was so poor. And here she is using, I mean, they spent millions of the public's money on these really excessive things, and they embezzled billions, as I mentioned. She also she traveled all over the world to buy expensive fashions. She bought a lot of original art, including Monet, Picasso, Van Gogh, and she bought other luxury items like homes and $250 million in real estate just in the U.S. alone.
Holy shit.
And here's one of the ones that's super crazy. She shipped animals from Africa to a small island in the Philippines. She wanted the Philippines to have its own savannah, I guess. So she shipped all these animals to this one island, and she removed all the people that were living on it. So there were 254 families on that island, and she had them kicked off.
Oh my God.
Of their homes to make room for these animals.
What kind of animals?
Zebras, giraffes.
Oh no.
Lions, tigers, all this stuff. Okay, this is crazy. I didn't put all this in my notes, but it's in the documentary. Eventually, the people, after the Marcos are spoiler alert, the Marcos are eventually like exiled from the Philippines, and all those families moved back to that island, but the animals are still there. They're all fucking inbred and fucked up and sick, and there's no money for them. Nobody's taking care of these animals anymore. Aww. It is fucked up. Aww. It is sad. And these people are still trying to like make it work on this island, and they're actually trying to like help these animals, but it's weird. The giraffes have shorter necks and stuff. It's weird.
No. Oh God.
Awful.
That's like Island of Dr. Moreau shit.
Yes. Yes, it's really awful. I probably should have put that in the trigger warning. I didn't know I was going to go down that route. Sorry, everybody. During the Constitutional Convention in May 1972, Imelda was accused of bribing convention members to vote against provisions that would have prevented her husband from holding on to power. Basically, it was, here's a bunch of money. Let's keep my husband in power forever. After she was accused of this, she claimed to have suffered a miscarriage. And then it was later revealed to be a hoax. She was just trying to get out of charges. In September later that year, 1972, Ferdinand Marcos declared martial law. This was a year before his term was to expire. He established himself as a dictator. He stayed in power till 1986. Keep in mind, his term was about to expire in 1 year, and he stayed on for 14 more years as a dictator. This move allowed him to crush anyone who spoke up against him. Nobody could run against him. He ordered the arrests of political rivals and activists. They were just super brutal to anyone who opposed them. Thousands were tortured. I have a list here. 70,000 people were incarcerated. 35,000 people were tortured.
Oh my God.
And 3,200 people were killed. And once again, she is rewriting history and people are forgetting this. This is why I thought it was a good time to do this episode. This is something that really happened. And it's not just him. It was them. It was both of them together. Victims were often taken from their homes and arrested without warrants. Various torture methods included like physical, psychological, and sexual assault. Meant to degrade these victims, and then they would release them and never charge them with anything. And once again, in that documentary, Kingmaker, they have some interviews with people, what they went through, and it's absolutely awful.
Ugh.
Your heart breaks for these people. Between 1981 and 1982, there were 14 massacres by the military. It's awful. And like I said, link in the show notes. Max is very upset. There's a link to all the violations in the show notes. I don't want to list them all. It's really
right, upsetting. Right. Yeah.
While all this is going on, Imelda is organizing all these public events. She's using national funds to make her and her husband look like they're awesome people. They even staged an assassination attempt on her.
to gain
sympathy.
Wow.
Yeah. Someday there's going to be a movie about these people. It's going to be something. One of the Marcos' biggest critic was this man named Benny Aquino Jr. He was very against them, and he was often pointing out their excesses. And of course, they jailed him. And then he was still very powerful, though, even though he was in prison. So they kicked him out of the country. They sent him to the United States. For a little while before Imelda met Ferdinand, sorry, not Fernando. I'm thinking of the ABBA song,
right?
Ferdinand. Before she met him, she actually dated Aquino. She went to visit him in prison at one point, and she told him, we're going to send you to the United States, and if you come back, I'm afraid for your life. He went to the United States, but then he flew back, and he was assassinated getting off the plane.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And obviously, the Marcos are believed to have ordered this assassination. Finally, there was a huge uprising after this. There was a call for an election. People went bananas and they were like, we're doing this. And so there was an election. This was in 1986. And the person running against Ferdinand was actually Aquino's widow, Cori, also Corazon, known as Corazon. The election was pretty close, but not that close. But Marcos claimed that he won anyway, just in case any of this sounds familiar to you. He claims that he won, but he didn't. And there were huge riots. People actually breached the palace walls. And then the military was like, we're out. They decided they weren't supporting him anymore. That's when the Marcos family fled to Hawaii. February 1986. And this is, so everyone breaches the palace walls. They go in and they just see this country was so poor.
Right.
And what they
right.
see here is Imelda's massive shoe collection. It's like 3,000 pairs of designer shoes. Look, I like shoes too. That's a lot of shoes. 3,000 pairs. A closet full. It was hundreds of thousands of dollars in like designer dresses. And my favorite, a bulletproof bra. This was all in the palace. I love it. It's crazy. And the footage of these people raiding the palace is something. I mean, they even raid the refrigerator because they're hungry.
Well, why not?
It's really sad to see. When they left for Hawaii, they brought with them some essentials, including $7 million in cash and gems that they actually hid them in diaper boxes, 70 pairs of jewel-laden cufflinks, enough clothes to fill 67 racks, and they bought 24 bars of solid gold.
What?
And they were engraved to my husband on our 24th anniversary. Who doesn't get them solid gold bars for your 24th anniversary? I think gold is in that. Isn't that supposed to be like your 50th anniversary?
I forget. No. Holy shit. Did they have a private plane?
I don't know either. They had a private plane.
Oh my
God. Can you imagine they went through security?
Yeah, I was just going to say, going on Delta with that crap.
So they landed in Hawaii. What's crazy to me is that they're in our country. And we're just like, that's fine. We'll just let this dictator and his wife and their family live in one of our most gorgeous states. What the fuck? Eventually, Ferdinand Marcos died September 28, 1989. So he's in Hawaii for about 3 years. He was 72. He had a kidney disorder. He had apparently undergone 2 kidney transplants, which also makes me mad because those kidneys probably should have gone to someone who wasn't a murderous dictator. He had all kinds of problems. He had health problems back in the Philippines, too, and he was often undergoing procedures. And it is believed that Imelda was running the show when he was incapacitated. So another reason why she's a fucking creep. Not long after her husband's death in 1989, Imelda faced some fraud and racketeering charges in American court. She was charged in connection with misappropriation. This is, you're going to like this, of roughly $200 million that she from her country that she used to buy real estate in New York City. A tobacco heiress named Doris Duke posted her bail.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes. And actor George Hamilton testified in her defense.
Aww, George.
Aw, George. Come George
on.
Hamilton. What are you doing?
Doris
she was
Duke?
Actually, yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, she's a great episode of Trashy Divorces. She was a kook.
Yes, to say the least.
A rich
she's
kook.
Apparently a good friend of Imelda Marcos. She was actually acquitted in that case. I also should mention at some point, she bought a house in Beverly Hills, but it was under George Hamilton's name. When all of this case was going on, George Hamilton sold the house and kept all the money. I guess good on him.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well.
In 1991, she went back to the Philippines and she was arrested the following day. The government was hoping to get their money back, right?
Mm-hmm.
They stole $10 billion. They filed these charges. State prosecutors accused her of creating private foundations in Switzerland and had financial interests in several companies when she was governor of Manila. They said she hid this money all over the world. She was released on bail, which didn't stop her from running for president in the Philippines.
Oh, my God.
I know. But she lost. She did run and win 2 congressional terms. So many people have already forgotten what they did, that she was able to be a congressperson.
Oh, my. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And by the way, once again, she still all these charges are always being pressed against her all the time, and people will still fucking vote for her. She was convicted of corruption charges in 1993. She received a very lengthy prison sentence and $4.3 million fine. But then her conviction was overturned by the country's Supreme Court, which has been padded out with people who are sympathetic to the Marcos family. The government was successful in recovering about $658 million of the $10 billion that they stole. They believe it's just a fraction of the money, like I said, and they are still hiding millions in art and paintings. And since her husband died in 1986, Imelda wanted to bury her husband, bury his body in the Heroes Cemetery in the Philippines. He's not a hero. Mm-mm. He's a murderous dictator. His body was not buried. It laid in state outside of the Philippines. She wouldn't bury him anywhere other than this Heroes Cemetery. And eventually she got her wish because her family threw their support behind another nationalist murderous dictator who was elected, and it worked. And now he is buried in this hero cemetery, and they have this president named Rodrigo Duarte. He is a dictator. He's been charged with killing. He has killed thousands of citizens in this, like, quote unquote, war on drugs. And he super loves Donald Trump. And he actually said to him once, "You're the light in my world. Half of this heart is mine."
Wow, Bethany. Wow. I'm sorry. I'm just that's a Real Housewives of New York joke. I'm completely gobsmacked.
This is so
horrifying.
It is. And the ultimate goal of her, of Imelda Marcos, is that she wants to vindicate her family, and she wants one of her children to be president again. And it's working. One of her daughters, Ami, just recently won a Senate seat. Ami's son took her place in a governor seat. Her son, Bong Bong, ran for vice president in 2016. He almost won. And of course, he contested the results, but he still lost. But he's eyeing a presidential run in 2022, has the support of this current awful president that they have. In the documentary, The Kingmaker, Imelda Marcos is completely unapologetic for, like, everything she's done. She does not believe that she stole any money. She doesn't think there's any blood on her hands at all. She takes no responsibility for it. And she is constantly, like, romanticizing her husband and her murderous regime. And there's this, like, revisionist history about what martial law was, which is, and they're trying to change history. In 2019, Facebook discovered that there were hundreds of fake news sites on their platform.
No.
And it was
what a surprise.
Created by their current president and the Marcos family. Insane. So, and then also Imelda Marcos, once again, now she's in her 90s. She at one point was sentenced to 42 years in prison for creating all these private foundations. They're always charging her with the same thing, and none of them ever stick. She's charged once again with, like, embezzling funds that all belong to the government, and she appealed, so she's out. It's unlikely she'll spend any time behind bars because she's super old.
Yeah, how old is she now?
She is 92.
Wow.
She's 92, and it's been 3 years since that conviction. She has not served one day behind bars because it's on appeal. They'll probably never go to court, and she'll never serve any time.
Wow, and there's no justice for the families.
No, none. No justice for these families. And it's not, she's, like, out doing political rallies for her children, and it's working. It's working. That's what's driving me nuts. But that's our creep, Imelda Marcos.
Holy shitballs, Sonia. I didn't know half of that.
I didn't either when I started. I was like, oh, she's a fucking creep who spent all this money, right? That, like,
yeah,
her country
the shoe
was
lady.
Poor. Yeah, she's the shoe lady. She's the country super poor, and she spent all their money on clothes and shoes. That was my original thought. I was like, this one might actually be fun. That's what LOL, Sonia. It turned out she's actually a really powerful, smart person and responsible for a lot of torture and death. What a fucking creep.
What a fucking creep. I always you know, I got you to watch Troop Beverly Hills, the 1987 classic, Shelley Long.
And classic, you are right.
And Craig T. Nelson, yes. And
so good.
One of the girls in the troop, her parents are like dictators, and it's based on Imelda and Ferdinand Marcos. And it's just played for laughs, like, ha-ha.
And that was the thing. It totally was at the time.
Yeah.
The joke is, even now, I think you and I are pretty up to date on Creeps. And even I was like, yeah, she bought a lot of dresses and shoes and she stole this money from the government. This will be hilarious. LOL. You know, it's like, no, it isn't. It's super fucking awful. And like what's happening there now is awful.
Yeah.
And very similar to what's going on right now here, too. And people are forgetting things that even happened like in January.
In January. Exactly. It's not even a year ago. It's like 6 months ago. People are.
It's really scary.
That is scary. Ugh. Okay. We need to change the mood here.
Yeah.
Right, Max?
Max says please.
Okay. Let's give Max a treat and we'll be back with our non-creep. Did you hear about a big football game that happened in England recently, Wembley Stadium?
I did hear about it.
We're Americans, if you can't tell. I know a lot about American football. I know next to nothing about European football, which we call it soccer. But when we had people recommend, we ask people to send us your non-creeps because we're always looking for suggestions. Sometimes it's really hard to find a really good non-creep, especially if we have a huge super creep like this person we talked about today. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people mentioned to us, Marcus Rashford. He plays for Manchester. Manchester. That's my Oasis accent. Manchester. He's 23 years old. He is of Kittian descent. His grandmother was born in the West Indies at the island of St. Kitts. He's from a single mom family. He grew up very poor, and his mom worked several jobs to take care of him and his siblings. He went hungry quite a bit. He was, when he was growing up, he really depended on school lunch programs that people love to shit on for some reason. They think it's a freebie or something.
What the fuck?
I don't know. I have friends who say things like that, and I'm just like, it just makes me nauseous. Mm-mm. He's now a very popular player, and he decided to take his fame, and he is an activist. And so for the last couple of years, once again, he's 23 years old. He started an In the Box campaign in October of 2019, and that was just to provide homeless people with essential items over the Christmas period, especially for youth. And it was just boxes filled with just stuff that you need, but it looked fancy and nice. And it was just a way to make people feel kind of special. In March of 2020, the UK went into lockdown. Boris Johnson's in charge. We know what it's like to have an asshole in charge during COVID. He set up programs to help kids because they don't get some kids, they get fed at school and that's it.
They rely on those school lunch programs for food. Yeah.
And so he decided to join some programs to help people. It's called Fair Share, and it's to deliver meals to people in the greater Manchester area who are no longer getting free meals. And this is for kids and it's for their parents. On June 11th of last year, he revealed that his charity was able to provide 3 million meals across the country.
That's amazing.
He wrote a letter to the government in June last year telling them to talk about ending UK poverty. Some people are like, absolutely, you're right. We should do something about that. And some people are fucking assholes, you know, like in every country.
I don't understand those people, but
this is something that President Obama said about him. When you look at the history of the big social movements and big social change, it is usually young people who initiate this because they do not take for granted things always were and can imagine something different. Like Marcus, I think we all find our own paths to that kind of service. But if enough young people do that, that is how progress gets made and how things move forward. A lot of young people I meet, including Marcus, they are ahead of where I was when I was 23. They are already making changes, being positive forces in the communities and their country. He's very much about taking care of people. Once again, poverty, homelessness. He has had several citations. He's been made the Order of the British Empire October of last year. Won the ESPY Award this year, the Pat Tillman Award for service.
That's awesome.
Time Magazine's 100 Next. He was in the Guardian's Footballer of the Year. He was for GQ Magazine Campaigner of the Year. He's done so many just amazing lockdown heroes, the FSA Awards. He's constantly making that his mission. He uses social media to reach out to people. He's incredible. And then there was this game. I don't know if you heard about it, but England played Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me just say like a little bit more about Fair Share. Because of his support, and this is from since March of 2020 till now, he helped raise enough money to enable Fair Share to distribute the equivalent of over 21 million meals for families who might not otherwise eat. He raised awareness of child hunger in the UK, driving the issue to the top of the news agenda. He launched and spearheaded the Child Food Poverty Task Force, a group of more than 15 organizations he's the founding member of, which come together to support national food strategy. He's helped influence social policy and political policy in the government. Anyway, so there was this game, and it's important. England beat Germany, and that was the first time in like 50 years. And
right.
I have friends that follow the sport, and they were really excited. And there was a game, and I don't know how the game is played, so I'm not going to pretend I do. But I know that England lost, and it was in the last few minutes. People were bummed out, and there were three players, Marcus, Jadon Sancho, and Bukayo Saka. I'm so sorry if I'm mangling these names. England was defeated. It was at Wembley Stadium. Wembley's kind of a big place and people get kind of freaked out there. They were blamed for the loss and received a torrent of social media abuse, mostly race related. All kinds of racist shit was thrown at them. And people around the world, but especially in England, were really getting behind like, no, this is not okay. This is not who we are. Football is important. I get it. It's part of the identity, but this is bullshit. We can't treat people this way. He's a hero in Manchester. They have a big mural for him. And somebody or a few people defaced the mural. Did it say racist shit? Was it just basic douchebag stuff? Or was it racist? The media would blur it out, probably because it was all curse words.
Yeah.
But the point is that on social media and online, there was a lot of racial abuse. And so at that mural, people started putting up positive signs and telling Marcus how much they love him and they appreciate him. And a lot of Black Lives Matters signs were put on there. The artist came back just this week, redid the mural. So it's all clean. It's all good to go. And then just this past couple of days, Jason Sudeikis, who has a very popular show called Ted Lasso.
I love Ted Lasso.
It's such a good show. It's such a good, he's such a good person, Ted Lasso. Yeah. He's on the red carpet and he wore a t-shirt with all their three names on it. Just very simple, making that statement of solidarity. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. That's our not creep this week. It's a few of them, but Marcus Rashford. Yeah.
What a good pick. Thank you, listeners, for bringing that to us.
We wouldn't know.
Yeah, that's a really, really good one.
He's just exceptional, and he's just 23, and he's amazing.
I wish I had been that awesome and smart at 23. I was busy making bad life choices. Good choice, Margo.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this show. If you like the sound of our voices, why, by golly, we co-host another podcast. It's called Dorking Out, where we dork out about movies. Sonia, what is the next movie we're going to be dorking out about?
Our friend Adam Risky is joining us, and we are going to finally talk about Dazed and Confused. And we're so excited because it's going to be a huge love fest. It's just going to be, I love, I love, I love, I love, I love. But it's going to be really, really fun. And we always have such a good time when Adam comes on the show.
That's The Dorking Out Show. Be sure to subscribe. That way you'll never miss it. Please follow us on all the things social media wise. We love it when you use the Annie Potts GIF. We got one. When you find a creep or a non-creep, that always helps us out. Once again, the email is whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. And Sonia, where can they find you?
You can find me at thesoniashow.com on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. How about you, Margo?
You won't find me on TikTok. I mean, I'm there. I'll follow you back. I just don't have that in me. But I am on Instagram and Twitter, and I'm pretty good there.
You are.
Yeah.
You are.
And my blog is brooklynfitchick.com. Thank you all so much once again. And in the meantime, don't be a creep.
Creep.
Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.